Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to be looking at a special feast that is today recognized in the church. It is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this feast is something that gets celebrated between the Annunciation and the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, which happens later next month in June. And it basically reminds us of the meeting that takes place between the Blessed Virgin Mary and her cousin, St. Elizabeth, when John was still in her womb and Jesus was in her womb, and is the second joyful mystery that we remember when we pray our rosaries. And the reason why this event is important is because it shows us the level of charity or love that we're to have from one another. It also shows about how Mary went to go serve St. Elizabeth's need, even though in a lot of ways, because she was pregnant with Jesus, she had a very similar need. And it really is a great lesson on love. And without too much ado, I'm going to get into the readings for today because they're special readings, and then we will meditate upon them as part of our study. So the first reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. The word of the Lord. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is in the Lord. He has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Give thanks to the Lord for and acclaim his name. Among the nations, make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, O Virgin Mary, who has believed what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Alleluia, alleluia. And the reading of the Gospel is a reading from the Holy Gospel according from St. Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she had entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary remained with her for about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, when we're reflecting upon these, there's kind of two lessons that we can get out of today's readings and everything that we got. The first comes from just the simple fact that Mary, although she was pregnant, went to her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant, to help her. It's kind of a reminder that we need to get beyond our needs and see the needs of others and really go out and serve one another in love. Kind of the second thing that comes out of this is a recognition of humanity in its most simplest form, the form of a child in a mother's womb. We have a lot of talk and discussion in the United States and really throughout the world about when human life begins. Well, the Gospels make it plain and obvious that both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ began their lives in the womb of their mother. We see this when Elizabeth gives the portion of what becomes part of the Hail Mary. The most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb declaration. And she makes it known that at the sound of her greeting, the infant in her womb leapt for joy. So it's a reminder that from a Catholic position, the fetus in a mother's womb is not part of the mother's body. It's not the mother's health that allows for any kind of treatment of a fetus like it was a cancer. That's first and foremost that has to be taken away from this. And it's sad that that has to be pointed out in this day and age when we have so much knowledge about how a fetus turns into a young baby in the mother's womb to where all it has to do is come out of the birth canal. But we have many people in our society today who really want to look at the fetus as an inconvenience because they want to do their own thing and continue to sin and not bear the responsibility of their actions. And because of that, they treat the fetus as if it's a cancer, because in their mind's eye, it is a cancer and not a blessing from God to have. But going beyond that to the first lesson, we know Mary traveled out to the hill country in haste once she had conceived Jesus in her womb. And it's one of those things that because of Easter and Lent being associated with this time of the year, that the feast of Mary's visitation is moved to the last part of May. Partly because there are times in various years when this is part of the ordinary season. And it reminds us that this great feast of Mary's showing charity is out there. And it goes back to what is the first reading. Now, the first reading that I read is the second option, and it talks about love. And because we're in a study of love in our daily searches right now, as I've gone through the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter and talked about how love is kind and not arrogant and endures all things and all that, that this fits perfectly because it tells us that our love needs to be sincere. We need to hate what is evil. These are two different things. First, our love needs to be sincere. We need to have a love that has a sincerity about it. Now, the word sincere in the Greek comes from a term used by people to describe certain works of art. Because in Greek days, they would chisel out stone, and the stone would be made into an image of somebody. And if the image cracked in a certain way or they had a deformity, they would use wax to fill in the crevices or to fill in the portrait so that it would look more like the other individual. A lot of the artwork that we have from those early centuries do have missing parts to them, like there's noses missing, ears missing, and such, or there's cracks in them. And these were usually filled with wax. And the word sincere basically means something without wax. It's really exposed for all of its naked truth so that you can see it exactly as it is. So you get this whole idea that your love needs to be without any kind of false pretense. It has to be genuine. And the second part of it, hating what is evil, goes back to the idea of recognizing what love really is. It rejects any kind of evil whatsoever. One of the big evils that it rejects is abortion in all reality, because life begins at conception. It doesn't begin at birth. Not one of you was brought by a stork, hatched from an egg, so you have to recognize that the infant in the womb of mothers is not the mother's body, even though it is contained within the mother. I mean, it's just as ridiculous to say that every time I scramble an egg, I'm just scrambling an egg. That egg is a baby chicken. If I did nothing to scramble it and actually took care of it and incubated it, it'd become a baby chicken. So let's get that out of the way. We need to hold on to what is good. Our society does not hold on to what is good. It holds on to what is not offensive. And it's more what's not offensive to somebody who wants to do something based upon what they want to be. Loving what is good means loving reality, loving truth, loving what is truly true, not necessarily what people want to be true. We need to love one another with a mutual affection. This mutual affection goes back to the commandment of loving one another as you love yourself. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Because it's that mutual affection that really brings about a society. Mutual respect. That's really what it's all about. It's not so much tolerating any old thing just because that's what toleration does. It's about a true mutual respect. It's a respect for somebody to, and I'm going to quote a movie that I love so much called The American President, where Michael Douglas's character says, you want to say that America's the home of the free? Well, and you want to make the flag that emblem of what America is, then you need to allow somebody to burn that flag in effigy as part of their First Amendment rights. Because in America, we, and I'm really paraphrasing this, we not just stand for the right for us to say whatever we want, but we want to be able to have somebody standing so many feet away from us, screaming at the top of their lungs something that we would vehemently oppose at the top of ours, because that's when America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that's kind of what it is. It's basically having this mutual affection for one another, loving one another as you love yourself. It's showing another honor. A lot of people miss this because they're too busy trying not to be offended for themselves. The whole idea of the personal pronoun usage in America nowadays with politically correctness is about showing the other person an honor. And unfortunately, it gets to the fact that the reason why you do it is because the other person is too unwilling to show you the same honor and respect back, because they're going to take your words as an attack if you don't use the proper form of speech that they expect. I mean, you may not know him from Adam, walk up to him and say something. How the heck are you supposed to know the difference? I mean, really, you're walking down the street, you see a guy, you call him, hey, sir, how you doing? Then he gets upset because you didn't call him madam. Really, somebody needs to figure this out. But that's another one. We serve the Lord. We do not lack in zeal. We're fervent in spirit. We do serve the Lord. That's kind of the next thing of love. Because love is about service to the Lord. Real love begins with service to the Lord. There's a couple people that don't like the all that's stated in the first commandment where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, because they think that when you do that, you can't show love to another individual. But you see, the thing is if you love God completely, His love fills you so that you can love other people. You can love one another with the mutual affection that comes from loving God and experiencing Him in your life. We rejoice in truth, and we endure in affliction and persevere in prayer. The endure in affliction goes back to overcoming temptation and not being dismayed when we receive desolation from the Lord. A lot of people will walk away from the church when a certain minister, a pastor, a priest, treats them the wrong way, or they hear about the pedophile scandal. They are like, oh, we can't really care about the church in that sense. Well, here's a reality check. There is no one in the church that's perfect. The whole idea that we're only human is the fact that we're all sinners saved by grace. If you're, it's kind of that there was something I saw on Facebook this past week where there was this guy that was saying, you hate the smoker that stands outside the door of the church. Well, it's a good thing that that offended you so you didn't come in, because you would have really had a problem with all the other people inside, because there's people inside that are living in adultery. There are people inside the church who are blasphemers of God because they can't control their mouth and cuss a lot. Oh, I'm in that group. Sorry. And there's a bunch of other sins that people commit. Pedophilia, rape, lustful thoughts, covetousness. A whole lot of range of sins, because we're learning to become better. And it's enduring the afflictions of God and realizing that these things should not sway us from the truth of the faith, because that's really what it's all about. Contributing to the needs of the Holy One, exercising hospitality. Here's kind of the hardest one for people to do. And you hear this a lot, especially when you're in groups like, say, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, where people talk about different people and how they use the system to get ahead. And I realize that there's a lot of people that have variant ideas on it. I was listening to the radio the other night, and somebody was talking about how they don't give charitably because they see that as contributing to another person's suicide. Because if they hand them $5 and they go off and they buy beer, they're basically helping them load a shotgun one shell at a time to eventually die of that illness. Well, the reality is it's not your situation unless you're going to really take care of them from cradle to grave, which some people have proposed in a socialistic idea of government, that's how you rectify the situation. But in the end, you have to let people be people. I mean, there comes a point in time where every person's child has to leave home and be self-sufficient. Will they fall into some kind of ditch or really come into troubles? Yeah, that's life. We all did. They all will. And we got to be able to be there for them without removing the safety net completely. We have to be able to contribute to the needs of others, to those of the holy ones, the saints of God. I mean, there's a reason why the corporal works of mercy talks about giving food to those that are hungry, drink to those who are thirsty, clothes to those that are naked. Oh, and by the way, did you notice that it's specific things that you're giving to the other person that has nothing to do with money? See, this is the problem a lot of people have when they do stuff. They would rather give the $5 in the hope that they'll go off and buy the McDonald's and get the water that they need instead of just getting the sandwich and getting the water. Are there going to be people that'll throw your sandwich down? Yeah, I had it. When I was a seminarian, there was a particular lady, she would come to the door. We were told that if they asked for money and they were hungry, give them a sandwich. So I would fix a bologna sandwich and hand it to her. She didn't like the bologna sandwich, so she'd throw the bologna sandwich down and wander off because she was expecting us to give her money to go to McDonald's. That's not kind of how it works, but it was one of those things that was a eye-opener. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse them. This is probably the hardest one for me, especially in traffic, or really at any other time, because I will really, You want to talk about one of those things to where I can get into a cussing fit? Yeah, start talking to me about how I left the seminary and what I think of Edward Braxton and Monsignor Ross Schechterly. I mean, those are things that are still trials for me, and I still try to work them out. Oh Lord, I need deliverance from that spirit of bitterness. But I do, I pray for them every day so that I can hopefully get over this and really understand what it is to truly be a blessing into those people's lives. We can't help it that people treat us wrong because they're people just like we are. They make mistakes just like we do. They have their opinion of the world, and that's their problem. At the end of the day, we have to live ours. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be all things to all people. If they're Jews, be Jews to them. If they're Islamic, be Islamic to them. You're not to be offensive. You're supposed to be there with them. People are going through good times, celebrate those good times. They're going through bad times, go through those bad times with them. Spiritual works of mercy really key into this part of the problem. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Here's where love really meets the road. Do you have somebody that you can't stand? Well, associate with them because they're lowly to you. Here's the problem that a lot of people get into when they're trying to manufacture people in their own image instead of recognizing the image of God. They look down on those that are not them. And this is kind of the biggest problem. People want to do everything. You can't say that you're not part of the body of Christ because you're not the head, you're a toe. And that's something that people need to understand. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, we're supposed to be giving honor to those who are not esteemed as greatly as other parts, because it's the ugly parts of the body that need the beautifying marks. I mean, the reason why you wear makeup is because you don't want people to see your baggy eyes. I mean, seriously, let's be honest. You dress up the parts that need to be dressed up. You don't have to dress up the parts that are normally good. That's why I never have to wear makeup, because I'm the most beautiful thing that's ever walked the face of the earth. You like that? Sounds haughty? Well, yeah, I'm working on that too. But anyhow, that's pretty much where we got to get into, is this whole idea of love and really understanding love as it is, because love for one another is what really we're called to. It's a love that crucifies us, a love that really recognizes and goes out of its way. Mary went and traveled to the hill country. She didn't stay in Jerusalem where it was a smooth, safe road. She went where it was bumpy and rough, to the hill country where Elizabeth lived, because people don't all live in the nice places. They live where you have to go travel. And you travel even though you have needs, because that other person, their needs should be greater to you than your own. You shouldn't be the one being catered to. You should be the servant. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Mary went to the hill country to help out Elizabeth. Because if we truly get those words in our mind and really understand what love is in those sense, then we'll truly be blessed.